Welcome back. Ron and Nene and the Car Doctor. And it is kind of fun, the Valentine's Day edition of the Car Doctor. I knew Elvis was going to make an appearance here somewhere this weekend. And, you know, Elvis is still rolling.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
There you go. I knew. Is that who that is behind the microphone? Funny, you look different today. You don't look like Tony. So, but I could tell. So, anyway, a lot going on in the world of automotive, too. It's not just Valentine's Day. It's there's a lot of automotive stuff going on, and we thought it would be a great time to reach out to our main go-to guy in that kind of a situation, Paul Eisenstein, the Detroit Bureau, thedetroitbureau.com. Once again, Mr. Eisenstein, welcome back to the Car Doctor, sir. How are you? Paul, are you there?
I am in Chicago at the Chicago Auto Show.
Yeah. And what's going on there? There's a big to-do at the Chicago Auto Show this year, correct?
Yeah, it's one of the traveling road shows, as it were. You know, there's a whole sequence of car shows. We're in about halfway through the season. We've done L.A., we've done Frankfurt, we did Detroit, so now we have Chicago, and we've got a couple more coming up. We've got the Geneva show in New York, and then Beijing. So it's going to be a busy season.
Now, do you follow and go to all the shows, Paul? I guess you have to, right?
I'm not sure I'm going to make it over to Geneva this year. I have a few conflicting things going on, but that still may happen. So I try to, all the major shows, because it is a global auto industry, and you really cannot just cover it by just attending the U.S. shows anymore.
Yeah, you've got to be at all of them, right?
So yeah, absolutely.
I could understand that. Well, let's stay here on this side of the pond. What do you see at the Chicago Auto Show this year? What's the big deal? I know trucks are hot right now, right?
Trucks. You know, of course, it depends on your definition. It was a different thing. Back then, it was body-on-frame vehicles. You know, you had a small number of rugged SUVs, the old Jeep Cherokee, the Bronco, of course, pickup trucks. Today, it's a very different thing. You get a lot of vehicles, of course, minivans are included in that, and then there's a lot of these so-called crossovers. Some of them look like SUVs. Some of them look like nothing you've ever seen before. What exactly is a Mercedes GLA? What exactly is an Infiniti QX30? But they go into the truck category, and this is where the world is changing.
Chevrolet, you know, from what I was seeing, looks like they have some really crazy new models this year at the show. Paul, I saw one. It was a cross-sectional cutaway. It was two sets of bucket seats and then a bench seat in the back. And I couldn't tell if it was an SUV, if it was a pickup truck, or what exactly it was. Any chance you can identify that for us? Paul? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. I think he's gone. Look at that. Well, you know, that's what happens. I think we had a bad cell connection there, Tom. Yeah, all right. Well, let's try and get him back and let's move on. There's a couple other things we can kind of talk about. I want to talk primarily about the fact that if you get out to the Car Doctor Facebook page, and I've been banging this drum all day today, but I think it's important. We're talking about that. We were going to talk about that with Paul regarding electric cars. The electric cars, I won't say they're an issue, but they're having their problems in terms of appeal. And if you get out to the Facebook page, you will see there's a nice little video we posted about the difference between electric cars and gas cars and the CO2, the carbon footprint that they leave. And I understand we've got Paul back. Paul, you there, sir?
Yeah, my apologies about that. The reception in the in this building is pretty bad. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah,
now
we're good. Now we're good. I was saying before, and thanks for making the effort to get back to us. We appreciate it, and the listeners do too, I'm sure. I'd seen a cutaway Chevy product. Chevy seems to be the big hit at the show this year, the way they're talking. I don't know how true that is, but some radical new truck designs. Can you verify that for us?
Well, of course, we saw some passenger car products over there. Chevy brought out the 1LE package, an old high-performance version that they are bringing back for the Camaro. We see it both this time on the 6 and the 8-cylinder model, which is really new. But we also saw the Trax, and that gets back to what we were talking about before I so rudely disappeared on you. You know, what are these things anymore? What's a truck? What's a passenger car? And the Chevy Trax is a great example of that. But this is a vehicle that is selling wildly. I mean, they can't keep up with demand. In fact, Chevy is struggling to meet demand for the trucks. They'd probably be selling more if they had enough capacity.
Wow.
Whether you're talking about the mid-sized Colorado, remember that came back about a year and a half ago, or traditional trucks like the Silverado. The market for trucks is just exploding. And I'll bet that if listeners were to be calling in and giving their vote, I bet the vast majority of them are going to say they'd buy a truck next time.
You know what? We'll have to take a survey. Maybe we'll start doing that. We'll take a survey in the next couple of weeks and see what people, if they're in the market for a new car, or even if they're not, if they were going to go out and buy one, what would they buy? Interesting idea. We'll post the results up on Facebook. So, you know, we know trucks are hot, and I guess the price of gas is helping the cause, right? Because the price of gas is so crazy low now. It's $1.50 to $2 a gallon everywhere in the country. What's that doing? I can understand why that's helping create the truck resurgence. Is that having any kind of an effect on the electric cars, Mr. Tesla and the bunch?
Well, first of all, the interesting thing is that most of the studies say that while low gas prices are encouraging people to think about trucks, most of the experts seem to suggest that even if gas prices go back up to $2, perhaps $3, even $4 a gallon, we're probably not going to see a lot of people bail out of the truck category to go back into passenger cars. And think about it. If you've been shopping, I know you keep a good eye on what's going on in the automotive market. The difference in fuel economy between, well, here's a good example. The Honda Fit, okay, subcompact model, 34 miles a gallon. But when you go and look at the Honda HR-V, which is the truck or crossover model based on the same platform, it's only about 3 miles a gallon less. And that's just not enough to make a huge difference. It's not enough to get people, when you're talking 37 to 34 miles a gallon, it's not enough to get people to say, oh, I can't afford this. I've got to go back to a traditional passenger car.
Right, I'll take one over
people
the other.
People like the benefits.
You know, people like the size. I think America is still in love with big vehicles and the size and the security and being able to put everything you want. You know, we were in a, as a family, we were in a 2015 Jeep Grand Cherokee last weekend. We were out doing a little, you know, road testing and piloting. And interesting to note, you put five people in that vehicle, there's no room for anything else. There's not a lot of trunk space. It's not like you could take that car out on vacation. You would need a roof rack to do it for suitcases. So
That's true.
You need bigger.
Now,
bigger.
Here's the interesting thing. When you look at one of these crossover vehicles and you compare it to a similar vehicle, in many cases based on the same platform, remember, most of these so-called SUVs these days are based on passenger car platforms. So you can make a direct comparison. And if you look at the Honda Fit versus the Honda HR-V, you're getting a ton of extra space. All of a sudden, you've got a lot more leg room, you're sitting more upright, you've got a command view of the road. And this is the sort of thing that makes the big difference that matters to consumers. That's
right.
Why, in many cases, they're willing to go for the slight reduction in fuel economy and the slightly higher MSRP.
Right, right. Hey, Paul, we're going to pull over and take a pause. When we come back, I want you to think about two things. Electric cars.
Yeah.
What's going on with Mr. Tesla? And this may be off the wall, but I'm just curious, any mention of hydrogen fuel cell at the Chicago Auto Show? Any talk about what the future might bring? I'm just curious to see if that ever gets mentioned. And we'll talk about that when the Car Doctor returns. Paul Eisenstein of the Detroit Bureau. We'll be back right after this. Oh, the Valentine's Day edition of Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor. Here I am. I can't wait till this weekend's passed. By the way, just real quick, tonight is big kickoff. Does anybody know what happens tonight before we go back to Paul Eisenstein? So tonight's the first NASCAR race. Daytona, I think, runs tonight. So we're back to auto racing before the EPA bans that, too. Paul, you there, sir?
Yes, I am.
Mr. Tesla, before we're gonna go quick before the clock takes us in 4 minutes. What's going on with Tesla? He's not doing too great, those electric cars of his, are they?
Well, you know, it's a crazy story here. The market has, well, let's talk the stock market. The stock market seemed ready to walk away from Mr. Tesla, Mr. Elon Musk, and his electric car company. Stock prices as of late last week fell to about half of their two-year high. But what's really strange, this is where it gets totally confusing, and I am not smart enough to figure out the stock market when this sort of stuff happens. Would you believe that he reported, instead of the small profit that was expected from Tesla Motors, instead they wound up reporting a big loss? Okay, now what would you expect the stock market to do?
If he's reporting a loss, I'd expect him to back away.
Yeah, well, instead of backing away, after backing away for months, the stock surged. They actually had a big buildup in the stock price at the end of the week after reporting that big loss. Now, what's helping is that there's a lot of talk about what they're going to do next. So, for example, they're going to start taking orders in a matter of days or weeks for the new Model 3, their mainstream electric vehicle. But I can't figure it out. It just totally makes no sense. Tesla has a horrible quarter. Their production is down, and the stock market comes rallying back.
Well, you know, just as an aside, and this is clearly opinion, and I'm just speculating, but what I've been reading lately about electric cars and their cost to produce, it seems like without government support and taxpayer dollars, the electric car wouldn't even be a reality. So, you know, is the stock market pumping up the electric car, Tesla included, in order to make it a viable alternative and somehow hold down the price of gasoline because it sends shivers to our friends over in the Middle East? And that's clearly speculation on my part as an American citizen. So, but it just
it does make you wonder.
I'm
not sure Wall Street would care one way or the other. They're just going to put the money where they think they can make money. But what's interesting is that the cost of building an electric vehicle is dropping. I don't know if you've happened to see the new issue of Wired magazine, which, you know, is the tech industry Bible, so to speak.
Yep, yeah, sure.
And the cover has Mary Barra, the CEO of General Motors, on it with the new Chevy Bolt with a B. You may recall that was introduced at the Consumer Electronics Show, and then they had a second introduction at the Detroit Auto Show a week later, about a month ago. And Mary Barra has actually beaten Tesla to market with an affordable long-range electric vehicle. It's 200 miles, and if you include the federal tax credits, you're talking about roughly $30,000. Now, this wouldn't have been possible, if you think about it, would not have been possible a decade ago. The batteries in that car, the battery pack, would have cost twice as much as what the average consumer is going to be able to buy the vehicle for. It would have cost $50,000 to $60,000, but the price of batteries has begun to plunge. It's gone from about $1,000 a kilowatt hour to about $150 is what GM is paying for the battery cells, not all the accoutrements. And if you do the math real quickly, 1,000 times 60 is $60,000 is what they would have paid at the beginning of the decade.
Right, now they're paying.
Instead, the current cost is about $9,000.
Something like that, yeah. Real quick off the top of our heads, yeah. Wow. So the price is dropping.
Very quickly. Very, very quickly.
Yeah. Very quickly. Okay.
So the question is, will electric vehicles bounce back? Will the Chevy Bolt with a V, you know, their second-generation plug-in hybrid just had its best month ever in January. So that's an interesting sign. I can't tell you what's going to happen. I can just tell you that there's a lot of people that want to see electrified vehicles take off, and I don't think we're going to see the industry back down, not with the tough fuel economy standards coming in 2025.
Right. Well, then we'll have to see where it goes. And you know what? We're going to have to leave it there, Paul. The clock's going to take us. To be continued. Next time around, I want to talk about hydrogen fuel cell. We'll get to that part of it, and we'll go from there. Listen, enjoy the rest of the auto show. And as always, thanks for being on the Car Doctor. We appreciate it, sir.
My pleasure. Sorry to have so much noise in the background, but good to be with you.
That's okay. We're glad to have you. Noise and all, sir. You're always great. I'm Ron Ananey and the Car Doctor. We are back right after this.